The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning with the first verse. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest, dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our book group just finished its most recent book, so if any of you want to join our book group, now is the time as we start a new book next month. But the book we just finished is called What is the Bible? It's written by Rob Bell, a pretty famous pastor. And Rob Bell wrote this book in 2016, and really, he took everything that I learned in seminary about biblical interpretation and then summed it down to about 250 pages in layman's terms so that everybody who wants could kind of understand what goes into interpreting the Bible. Essentially, what Rob Bell did was take my $50,000 of student loans that I still carry with me and just kind of burned them up and said, "This book could have done the whole thing for you." So, thanks, Rob Bell. But one of the things that this book offered was a really interesting question. If you as a person today want to read the Bible and understand it in its own context, Rob Bell said there's one question you should always start with. And that is, why did people feel this story was so important that they had to write it down? If you can start right there with that question and try to understand that question within the audience of the people in the time that each of those pieces of text were written, then you will do a great deal in understanding what the Bible is saying and in trying to interpret it at least as authentically as we can today, 2,000 years later. And so that's kind of a question for us today. Why did John feel that this story was so important that he had to write it down? We might think to ourselves quite simply, well, he's just giving an accounting of what happened, of what Jesus did in this miracle of the feeding. Or we might say, John's really trying to show the world how powerful Jesus is. Look what Jesus did. He took these loaves of bread and these fish, and he fed 5,000 people. Just kind of an aside here, for any of you who do want to get into interpreting the Bible, the Greek in this story does not say 5,000 people. It says 5,000 men. That's because when people would do census work and accounting stuff 2,000 years ago, women and children did not count. So it was 5,000 men plus their wives and plus their children. So this is really not a feeding story of 5,000 people. Rather, it's a feeding story of 15 or 20,000 people, which makes the miracle that much more extraordinary. But I digress. So why was this story so important for John to want to write this down and share it with his audience, with the people around him in this time? And we get some clues here in this story. What John is really trying to do for his audience is to take Jesus, to take this new guy on the scene, and to connect him to something bigger, to connect him to their own stories that they have been sharing, to connect Jesus to the pattern that God has been implementing for thousands and thousands of years. One of the first things we hear in this gospel story is that Jesus, right before he asks these people to sit down, Jesus goes up into a mountain. And then we find out that it's almost Passover, so Passover is near. That might seem like a weird detail, or an insignificant detail even. But John's audience at this time would have read about Jesus going up into this mountain, and they would have read that it was almost Passover, and the very first thing that would have popped in their head is the story of Moses. This isn't just the story of Jesus feeding thousands of people, but this is something that is reminiscent to the time of Moses. Moses, who had to go up into a mountain to receive these covenants from God when the Sinai covenant was made. And of course it connects to Passover, right? Because Passover is the Jewish people's celebration of God liberating them from Egypt. So immediately these people would have had some kind of an association here with Jesus and their greatest story, the story of Moses, the story that much of their religion was then centered around. This story of Jesus is not an independent story. It's connected to something far, far bigger. And then we hear that it's not just regular bread and fish like the other gospel stories tell us. Rather, we hear that it's barley loaves. And you're all lucky today. I don't have to ask you to go into your Bibles and find out where the connection to this is, because Lois read it for us already. In 2 Kings, we hear the story of Elisha, one of the greatest prophets in Israel's history. And he feeds people too. It's not nearly as big, but what do we hear? We hear that Elisha takes barley bread and feeds 100 people with it. So now, once again, the audience would have heard this story, and it's not just about the feeding, it's not just about the miracle, but it's also that Jesus is connected to one of their greatest prophets. John is reminding his audience of something very powerful. The world they live in, the experiences they have, the religion that they center their lives around, and Jesus' place in this religion is part of something bigger. Jesus is not doing something independent. Jesus is not starting something completely new. Jesus is the continuation of a pattern of feeding and caring and loving that God has been present in with God's people for thousands and thousands of years. We hear this story today in our own present time, and immediately our minds go to the miracle of being able to feed that many people with such little food. But that's not what the people in John's time really would have gone to. They would have heard Moses. They would have heard Elisha. They would have heard the story of people being liberated from Egypt. The story of God feeding his people in a time of famine. They would have heard all of the stories that they grew up with, that they cherished, that helped shape their values, also being instilled in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, I think Christianity in a lot of ways loses its identity today. Loses its mission, loses its purpose. And I think it's because a lot of the time we as Christians forget this bigger part of the story. A lot of the times we think it's really just about Jesus. It's just about the stories of the gospel. It's just about Jesus as Son of God, as God incarnate. That's where everything starts. And we forget that there's this whole story of the Jewish people as well. I think sometimes we get caught up in our own identities as congregations. We are the people of this congregation or that congregation, of this denomination or that denomination. And we get so centered in what our faith statements are, what our beliefs are, and we forget that we are part of something so much bigger than ourselves. We forget that our little church right here in the Central Coast is actually one small part of the bigger body of Christ that spans the entire globe. And then sometimes, because we do love what we do, because we do love being there for people in their time of need, we get so consumed by our ministries, by the work that we have to do, that we forget there's this bigger pattern going on around us, this bigger pattern of feeding people that also spans the globe, this bigger pattern of feeding people that not only spans space, but also time, that goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years, all the way to creation, when God chose to feed God's people with the vegetation and fruits of the land around. We can get so caught up in our little corner of the world that we don't always see this bigger, incredible, amazing thing that we're not only a part of, but that we get to participate in. It definitely happens here in this valley. This little microcosm of ours, this little paradise. We can sometimes forget that things exist outside of the San Ynez Valley. And I get it. I kind of like that. But there's some wonderful things we do at this church. And I know that you know about them. I know that you participate in them, but I want to go over them real quick. Because sometimes it's good to step back and see the things that we participate in as a bigger part of this pattern that God has been present in throughout time. And September's coming up and we have our service day, where we pack personal care kits and school kits for kids who live abroad, who don't have access to the simple things of hygiene and school supplies. But this year, we're going to be packing lunches for a lot of the homeless population that lives here amongst our valley that we're not very aware of. Our produce table is still going on and just flowing abundantly with produce that always enables us to feed the people who suffer from hunger across the world. When our kids went to the youth gathering today, Lutheran World Hunger had their very own exhibit, and they were trying to have people experience what it might be like to live abroad and to suffer with hunger. But then a part of that was to highlight how little churches are involved in these relief efforts. And I have to tell you, I was able to stand there at that exhibit at this youth gathering in Houston with such pride in my heart. At one point, this woman asked us, "Are you guys aware of Lutheran world hunger?" I said, "Very much so. Because of the work that we've been doing every single year trying to raise money and needs for people across the globe. Part of that is our quilting group. Every year, just spends time once a month making quilts that we get to bless and know that these are going to wrap around the shoulders of somebody needing to experience warmth and comfort, knowing that there are people thousands of miles away who love them, who care for them, who take the time to create these things for them. We are one of the few congregations that fully support Iglesia Santa Cruz to the commitments we made to them years ago. Most congregations have stopped fulfilling their complete commitments. We are one of the few that not only do what we said we were going to do, but continue to go above and beyond. And we've got all these new things happening too. We had 64 kids sign up for Vacation Bible School this year, most of whom were not members of this church, most of whom got to understand that when life presents struggles in our lives, that God is there in all of it, that God cares for us and loves us no matter what. We went to the youth gathering for the first time, I think, ever. We took five kids, who got to sit in a sea of 30,000 other kids. We had five kids who grew up in this valley, this little bubble, this little corner of ours, who got to experience viscerally and firsthand how big our church is. 30,000 kids worshiping God every single evening. Amazing. We've opened up our property. I don't know how many of you ever drive by Monday through Friday evening, but there's cars in our parking lot almost every single night. And these aren't ministries of the church. These aren't people who are affiliated with our church. These are people who simply now have a space to come and participate in Tai Chi, in yoga, in AA, in art classes. We've opened up our property to this community, and this community is embracing that. We've enjoyed a partnership with supporting the troops who help pack every month supplies, care packages that go to troops serving abroad. Our church is going to be participating in a donation event coming up soon, asking the entire community if they would bring supplies here so that we support the troops can have more to work with and more to send to the men and women who serve this country. We've become members of the Santa Barbara Food Bank and are starting to dream big about what it might look like if we had our own food bank here at Bethania, our own distribution site where people in this community can come and literally be fed. Now you take each and every one of these, some of them that we've been doing for a long time, some of them that are new, and you can take each and every one of these, and they may seem like small acts. But each of these are actions within a larger pattern of feeding that has been happening in this world for thousands of years. We are participating in this story of creation, of liberation, of feeding those in need, and of speaking up for those who are marginalized or oppressed. Every single one of you, in your own lives, you are, all of you, part of this bigger story that has been happening since the beginning of time. When each of us joins these little actions, we combine ourselves with all of those little actions happening all over the globe. And it's amazing. And I just hope you can see how meaningful it is what you do and how God is present in all of your work. You know, the traditional image is that we think of God as this guy up in the sky watching over us, right? Sometimes I think it would be kind of cool that if we thought of God simply as the summation of all of those small little actions happening in the world where people are being loved, where people are being fed. I think that's pretty cool. Amen. Please stand as you are able.